I want to say hi to everyone. Isn't it wonderful we're together again? I hope you're not getting tired of me yet. But the Lord whispers and we must speak.
Yay!
As Gerald said, some of these things I'll be sharing with you tonight and maybe again this week. I don't know. Depends upon how far along we get tonight. Some of these things are decades old, but we're just now starting to see these things come to pass. And sometimes between the moment he speaks and the moment history reveals what he has spoken, it can last decades, as we're finding out. Could prayer, earlier prayer, have changed any of these things? Well, all I can say is that the things pertaining to Israel, I used to go over there 4 or 5 times a year. Never less than 2 weeks, and once or twice even for a month. So I prayed over all these things that I was seeing. But they were the kind of revelation, knowledge, that obviously prayer cannot change. What it can change is the level of grace that people will have to walk through the things that he shows and the fruit that can come out of the difficult things. So some things are just simply his will, but he's got good intentions for everything he allows. He will turn our ashes into joy. That's all I can say. He'll take our ashes and clothe us in righteousness. Nothing that he does is ever wrong. And for people who like to be right all the time about everything, they have a terrible time with God because, you know, he's just never wrong. And what can I say, just as kind of a helpful little encouragement before we get started? I'm trying to think of exactly how he worded it, but I had gone over to Israel. And it was during a time where they were doing all of this suicide missions into Israel and killing civilians all over. I can remember walking into a major civilian population in Israel that's just outside of the wall, the Wailing Wall. And I was told that this was one of the areas that one of those suicide bombs had been released, and the people are just virtually so terrified. People are locked up in their homes. There's been some severe emotional distresses that have come out of it. And the whole nation is concerned about this neighborhood. Would I be willing to go pray over it? So I did, and I walked in just 2 steps into the neighborhood, and you could feel the fear of the people so dominantly. It was like I was walking through a war zone, and you never knew when the next bomb was going to hit you. And I walked through it and I prayed. It's horrible to know that people are locked up in such fear, you know? I went back there the next day. I was invited to go back because the people that asked me to go pray over it had been back to the neighborhood, and they said it felt like it had been cleaned with clean water. It just was so different. And please to go back and see if there's any traces of anything I felt the day before. And I am so happy to tell you, there was not an ounce, not a fiber, not a cell of fear left in that neighborhood. And the people in the neighborhood were coming out and they were talking to each other just like nothing had ever happened. And this is what these constant times of being assailed by you know not what next, that the people have had to live through, go through emotionally. It's really tough. I remember even on that particular trip, I was forced to ride up in business class. Now, don't feel sorry for me. Because all of the, it was a sudden trip, and all the coach was filled. So they asked me, you know, you've got a lot of miles here, so would you mind letting us put you in business class? I said, well, sure. Wasn't I easy to work with? So anyway, it turns out that the young man I sat next to was a high school student, and he wasn't even a senior. He was in either first or second year of high school. And we were sitting there holding a conversation you would expect to hold with a congressman in America, not with, say, a junior in high school. I was so impressed by everything that he knew that I asked him, I said, where are you getting all this information? You're so young to know all of this. He said, school, we have to know all this when our lives are in danger every single day. So they teach us in school, and they start in grade school. I said, wow. So the people of Israel are aware. They're not blind. You don't find false hopes there. The only thing that they need that they don't have and that they are blind to is Messiah. And that's the biggest thing we need to pray over. Anyway, that's enough good news for tonight. So I climb out of bed early in the morning. And I climb out of bed to this song. I love this song. It's, I think, two or three times when we have traveled through some major crises, he will sing this song to me. One time he came and sat down, that is Yeshua, came and sat down literally on my bed. I was sitting next to him on the edge of the bed. I couldn't believe he was just suddenly there, but he was. And he put his hand on my shoulder, you know, like kind of on my shoulder, on the back part of my shoulder anyway. And he started singing the whole song to me. And the name of the song is Do It Again. all I have for you tonight is the Course, because this is what he gave me the other morning, was the Course. And it just kept playing in my spirit again and again and again. And every time it played in my spirit, I felt strengthened. I felt encouraged. I didn't know how weighed down I was feeling until this happened. And these are the words. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. We're still in your hands. And this is our confidence. You've never failed us yet. I didn't know the news I was going to get the morning I received this. But what we received was the massive deaths that had taken place in Israel. And now those numbers are up between what's going on in Gaza with the Palestinians and the terrorists and the Jewish people and some Americans in Israel. But the numbers are up now to 4,000 deaths in just these few days. When you compare that to what's happened in 600 days of ongoing scrimmaging between Russia and Ukraine, the numbers are a fraction of what we have in Israel. So when Hamas found a way to make their will known, they didn't pull any punches. They did it with everything they had. And Israel, you know, has to fight back. You can't expect them not to. Because if you live in that area, and I've been in and out of Israel enough to learn that the Arab nations surrounding Israel are not playing games. They're not saying one thing and doing another. They're not sweet-talking you only to hit you in the gut. They make it known every moment of every day that they hate Israel and they want to wipe Israel off the map. Or, maybe better yet, just wipe the population off the map and keep the land. They can't make up their mind. But they hate Israel so much, all they want is Israel out of their, what they consider to be their land. But if you ever want to know on a scholastic level who that land belongs to, I'm not saying biblical, I think the biblical level speaks even stronger, but the scholastic level, read the book From Time Immemorial. It was written by a journalist who was well known, highly respected, and most certainly anti-Semitic. She engaged on Israel's history regarding the land. She wanted to know everything she could find about it because she wanted to prove and then write a book proving that Israel had no right to even so much as a square foot of that property. And what she found was Israel was telling the truth. The land belongs to them, and it is the Arab nations that are stealing it, not vice versa. So I don't remember if she got saved through that or no. I just don't remember because it was so long ago when I read it. But I was so impressed with her facts and all the work that she had done to put that book together. I bought a copy for myself and for Ricky because I just think that in a day like we live in, we need to know where God sees Israel and know the truth. If we know the truth and then we'll accept the truth no matter what man says, we will surely win. If we don't, well, then the loss will be ours. Now, let me get started here. I don't want to keep you guys forever. After hearing this chorus go through my spirit several times, I knew the Lord had a powerful message for me. I mean, you know, I've walked with him like this for over 40 years. And in some things, he changes a lot in terms of his relationship dealings. But in some things, he just stays the same. And when I wake up hearing a song in my spirit, I know he's got a message. So I perk up my ears. Now, I'm going to start reading. And when I can't read anymore, I've already asked Ricky if she'll take over for me. So you may hear her sweet little voice when my voice, gruffy voice, comes to an end, all right? After this song and after I realized that the Lord had a message for me, what came next was the information on the progression of war between Russia and Ukraine. Now I'm going to cover Russia, Ukraine, Israel, and Hamas, and then Africa, because he spoke to me about all of them. He showed me that the New World Order wanted Ukraine for their purpose. And then I put IE, rare earth minerals such as lithium, titanium, cobalt. And then there's oil and diamonds and gold, etc. You know that old story, right? They want to make it a new technology hub for Europe at the very least. And they want to make it a weapons manufacturing hub that will touch the world, but primarily gear it toward Europe. And a new world order base during World War III. Now, isn't that nice of them to think ahead like that? So nice to keep in mind that they're going to bring us into World War III and prepare themselves for it, hoping we never catch on. Minus as many people as they could get rid of, if not all. They put Zelensky into office. He is nothing more or less than their puppet to help bring Ukraine into the situation and condition where they need and want it. If things progress to the point that his life is in danger, they will try to send him to the United States and safety to live in his lovely $3 million mansion. Now, isn't that nice of them? See, I've got all these really positive points. But it does get worse. One of the things they told Zelensky to do was to provoke Russia into war. So using Zelensky, they start provocations to provoke Russia into war because they wanted the world to blame Russia for what Ukraine was doing. Now, does that sound familiar? Seems to me like we've talked like that the last several weeks here. And now we have it in black and white from the Lord himself. And I'm sure probably by now other journalists are writing that in, confirming it. So the government of Ukraine started committing crimes against its own population. Hark! If Russia won't do it, we'll do it for them and say they did it. Now, doesn't that sound like a great friend to have right next to your shoulder? Some could be easily blamed on Russia, some of these things that they committed against the population, could be easily blamed on Russia, which they did. Provocations expanded to making their small military attacks on Russia. This conflict had to evolve the way it did because the New World Order elite wanted Ukraine for themselves in the world to hate Russia. There's still enough of the New World Order's skeletal pinings in Russia to do whatever they want, even if they have to kill Putin and put a puppet in his place. Ricky's vision revealed the New World Order's plan. General Milley called Putin in Russia, and whatever he said to him provoked Putin to lose control, rise and devour Ukraine. This is an example of how they work both ends against the middle. The elite provoked Ukraine against Russia, and finally, Russia against Ukraine. All of this was pre-planned by the New World Order. They knew what they wanted to do with Russia and Ukraine. They knew when they would start working on it and how the plans would mature. It was all planned out. What they did not know was Putin's level of temperance and patience, not to rise in craziness or even to deal with Ukraine at the beginning. It took longer than expected, but the New World Order cabal had already been financially supporting the jihadists and helping them in whatever way the terrorists needed for a long time. Therefore, the terrorists were ready, willing, and able to strike at the cabal's wishes. They were awaiting their cue. Once the cabal got Russia and Ukraine in the state they wanted them in, they would move on the terrorists to attack Israel. The New World Order elite planned this move for a long time. It was a couple years in the development. The terrorists were told at one point to attack because they wanted the focus on Israel and away from Ukraine, allowing the cabal to do what they needed to do for the next step. Incidentally, there is value in the pipeline going across Europe. The main thing the elite want is oil, rare earth resources for technology, etc., as well as other purposes such as the middle of the road for the place of weapons manufacturing and distributions, not to mention a great New World Order base for World War III. The vast need for rare earth resource is relatively new, and Ukraine is rich in these resources. There's also a country in Africa that is rich in such as cobalt. They destroyed half a major prosperous city to gain possession of it. Previously, this nation had a division between the wealthy and the poor, but it didn't provoke the heinous and miserable war. The wealthy lived very nicely, and the poor were not so poor that they could not continue as they were. It was an average good African country, I suppose. However, this resource was discovered there, so the elite went in and demoralized that country and finally sent their paid terrorists to wreak havoc on the nation. The elite want the rare earth minerals and its wealth because it is valuable for technology. Again, there is a third thing the weapons. The New World Order groomed Zelensky in the position he is in now. This agreement was that they would attempt to provoke Russia to all-out war, leading to the death of millions. At the very least, they would get Ukrainians out of their way, allowing the cabal to do what they wanted to do. If it comes to the point that Zelensky has to flee Ukraine, they will attempt to send him to and his family to America, to his $3 million mansion in Florida. Now, I want to make a stop here for just a moment. What is going to happen without God's intervention, I've said many times, millions will die. If this goes to a full-scale war between Russia and Ukraine, once again, millions will die. Now back to Israel. The New World Order cabal has been paying the jihadists to prepare to do what the cabal told them they wanted done with Israel right now. The goal is to provoke a major war in Israel since they were not yet getting it between Ukraine and Russia. The New World Order elite are still working to get their way in Ukraine. They are simultaneously working with the Muslim extremists, terrorist organizations, telling them the signs to look for that will indicate when they are to attack Israel. Now, when they produce the event that was indicated, that will mark the moment for the terrorists to rise and attack Israel. Now, obviously, he gave this to me before that happened. You can tell by the wording. Israel, in part, they were looking for deflectors to get the people's eyes off of Ukraine so they could do what they needed to do there. Moreover, attacking Israel would provide a good place to start World War III if this would be necessary. They will start World War III from Israel since they couldn't accomplish it soon enough in Ukraine. This is some of the gibberish they use to elicit the terrorist organizations to work with them. The New World Order ultimately wants Ukraine, Russia, and the situation in Israel to virtually explode simultaneously into the first part of World War III. It has been reported that more than 1,500 terrorists have now streamed through our southern border because America is one of their next targets. Now they are not thinking for a moment that they will be able to rip America apart. They are thinking, at least for now, they can destabilize the U.S. enough that they can get what they want in the Middle East and Europe. It's all a nice plan if they can make it work. Nevertheless, the New World Order brags that if Plan A doesn't work, they go to Plan B, C, D, E, etc. in the queue. If this works, great. If not, we go to B. But they establish their plans in advance. There's hardly a breath between what failed and what they hope to succeed next. So this is their plan up to this point with Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Hamas, and the USA. Now Africa. When I read my experiences last night about how many nations the jihadists affected, it seemed like an endless parade of nations. This I saw, and I'll be talking about this actual experience later, but this I saw when an angel of the Lord came and picked me up and took me to the nations to show me what this movement of the jihadists would do in the last days. So it seemed like an endless parade of nations, and now I'm talking about the African nations. They created great carnage everywhere they went. I saw it when the angel of the Lord took me to these places many years ago. It was horrendous, horrible, and horrific to have to watch that. It just rips your guts out. The pain of watching that unbelievable barbarity. I saw people decapitated, others being maimed, but cutting their hands off, or other horrid maiming. Some of what I saw was so bad I can't say it. I can't even try to mention it because it was so horrible. I can't even get it out. I watched what they did to the women and the children as well. I saw what they did in the process of their warfare. And in some cases, they had been in that village or city and left. And I saw the end of the thing, not a human left alive. I saw enough of what they did in the process that it shook me terribly for a long time. That is Africa, my friends, not one nation, but many. Heartbreaking to say the least, the New World Order have their major hotspots picked out and what they will do, except God. They want the diamonds and the oil from Africa, as well as the what I just said a few minutes ago, the minerals, rare earth minerals. And they really have no design except one, to fulfill a plan that they've lived with for decades. No one's going to talk them out of it. God himself will have to intervene. I do not care who it is or what they're doing. The Lord made it very clear to me the root of everything is coming right from the heart of the New World Order. It is not in Putin's heart concerning the terrorists. It is not that they have suddenly decided to attack and obliterate Israel. They have decided to do that with a passion from the beginning. As these groups have grown, their desire for world dominion has also increased. Oh, my heart is hurting so bad right now because this jihad movement, and I think I'll be talking a little bit about that a little bit later, but it really is going to cover the earth, and they want it to. They will train as many as they need to train. And if their roots do not provide the elite with enough soldiers, if you want to call them that, they'll go into other races. They just know what they want to do. These people are so sick. These terrorists are so sick. Shio and O'Day have told me the kinds of horror stories that have taken place in Nigeria alone at the hands of these terrorists. They're sick. What they do during the strike and after the strike, you just can't believe it. It's like you can't put it in the Christian mind and in any way get anything out of it that makes sense to a Christian. But these people are so possessed. They've lost sanity. Nevertheless, when the cabal have accomplished their goal, they will annihilate the terrorists, and I've seen that very clearly. But this is all New World Order plans and operations to make their way to world dominion. That's what we've got to deal with. We've got to come at this with the knowledge and understanding that these people are not joking. There's not a less than the most obsessed bone in their body to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Across Israel, getting rid of the Ukrainian population, and Africa, and every place they want to go, they want to go there for the wealth. There's no compassion, no pity. You can't cry loud enough for them to say, all right, get out of here. You can't talk to them reasonably. There's no reason in their mind. They're possessed. They're possessed and they're obsessed. And they're unbelievably sick people. Only God could tear out the innermost part of those people and create in them something that is worth his effort to turn into a soldier for Christ. But he would have to completely destroy what is and then start all over. You can't look inside the heart and say, well, there's got to at least be a pea size of love, because there isn't. No one can do the things that they do, and I haven't told you half of it, and have love in their hearts. Okay, Ricky, can you take us through the second folder real quick? And then I'll talk for a few minutes and we'll pray.
Okay. Number two?
Yeah.
Israel and war. Israel, war, union, ants. Union, ants, vision. Vision of unity government formed in 2020. Years ago, I know people are probably just scrambling to write all this out. We will compile this and we will put this on our website in written form for you. And this audio will also go on our website. So I just want to put that out there for you so you're not in a bit of a panic like I would be. So, back to the vision mom hat. Years ago, Jesus gave me a vision about Israel. I saw a party being formed in Israel called by a name that in English means union or unity. Bibi Netanyahu was part of the formation process. However, I do not think Bibi would stay at the head. Another will fill that role, perhaps Benny Gantz. The man I saw in power looked remarkably like Benny Gantz. And the power reverted to Benny in 2021. I went to the other man, apparently known as Benny Gantz, as soon as his role was solidified and gave him this word. The name of your party means union, because now the union ants will arise and strike Israel. Even as I said the word ants, both the new prime minister and I knew the ants were the many Arab nations forming a coalition for war. Terror struck his heart. Second vision, war between Israel and Syria. I was standing in a long line with many other Jewish people here in the U.S. We were waiting to get word about what was going on inside Israel, as no one was getting word in or out due to the war. The times were very bad. For instance, both in Israel and Syria, devastation was occurring. I saw that Damascus was being utterly destroyed. Both nations needed food supplies. For Israel, there was damage, but not to the extent as we saw in Syria. Israel had secret hidden weapons underground that were unlike anything on earth. The war will come, but Israel will prevail. The next one was March 23rd of 2020. Israel, Arabs, and war. Is this forecasting of the war? It will surprise me if Gantz is not the one who will work with Bibi. Do I feel like this is the tribulation war with Gantz? No. New party formed put us on a new prophetic time clock. What will come out of this war? Without God's intervention, the Arab nations will strike Israel. They're conspiring together even now, when and how and where. It will be devastating for Arab nations and Israel. Israel does have great weaponry under the earth. The Arabs do not know what they will get themselves into. There is too much left undone, such as the temple, for instance, before the Antichrist can come. I spoke to Sid Roth many years ago. He asked why the Jewish people were going to Israel, since it is a death sentence. I responded because there are those that will only find their Messiah there. They might die, but they won't be lost. There was a question regarding Psalms 83. The war above is not the war mentioned in Psalm 83. If the Antichrist has anything to do with this, the transfer of power will be 18 months. So it'll be 18 months each. But this is too soon. Do I see this war mentioned above as pre-tribulation war? No. Maybe because he will stop before it reaches to a certain point. When I received the word, it was like it was set in stone. The Lord didn't say it was premature war. Pray God will accomplish what he wants to in Israel during this time. I believe it will be a great outbreak of Christianity. I don't doubt that the cabal is involved. I think God will change things. We spent over 20 years preparing America. Once this outpouring begins, it will never end. The Lord revealed to me that Yeshua appeared to many of the rabbis. Most received appearances while they were alone and received him through scriptures. All of them would have a supernatural character. The Orthodox Jews own Knesset. They are not lambs, but vicious and retaliatory. Martyrdom will occur by their hands. A temple will be built before the Antichrist takes over. There was a question, Psalm 83 war, that Jordan is in charge of the Temple Mount. That real estate has to come back into Jewish hands. The Lord showed Mom that a war will occur that would cause nations of the earth to have compassion on Israel, and they would build their temple. I agree. I can't see the war provoking the Antichrist yet. God has preparations to do in nations. The Antichrist will be, as it were, timeless. He will not age as a normal human being ages. Many years ago, Yeshua came every day to a Jordanian. He told her that what you have just said. I talked to her niece. The woman's character was impeccable. Revival came to Jordan through the time of her visitations, and it spanned all of Jordan. Salvations were extraordinary. When the Lord visited her, he took her up to Rome, to the home of a very wealthy couple with a prodigious ancestry. When their child was born, it was a savior of the world. It was a future Antichrist. Yeshua showed her that the Antichrist was many years beyond his apparent age. The nations wanted to follow him. That was why the EU was established and were promised a world leader. She saw how the nations would run after this man because of his genius and gift of oratory. Satan inhabits him. He will not age the way normal human beings do. I saw a man in an experience and thought he was the Antichrist. He was very nice looking, silver gray hair, but didn't look old. I had three experiences of this nature. I was in a room with other Christian leaders. A man walked in a room to a locked side room. You could hear the room, but it was also soundproof. The Lord took me into the room. They were looking at the same man. We just have to slow down here. I know you want to move things along, but the truth is, it is not time. If you try now, it will cause a lot of bloodshed. Finally, he said, I understand. People are expecting me. The other man said that the elite are expecting you, not the regular people. It is not time to come out. Three times I had that experience where I could feel the expectancy, but it was pushed back because it was not time. For over 20 years, this ministry has been battling evil forces, cleaning the airwaves. The Lord would change our intercession if we were preparing for the Antichrist. Therefore, until we feel the move of the Holy Spirit indicating that necessity, we are not yet coming up to that. There will be a war to bring forth the open door for this man to arise, but I believe another war with nations will happen first as a prototype of what is coming, but that war won't be Psalm 83. Not sure where the Temple Mount is. There is conjecture that the Antichrist will look like a businessman. He does have to deceive Israel. He will work with signs and wonders. The Antichrist will take a wound to the head and rise. That party took over the government, not a unity government. Still discussing this because the unity government could become a party. I saw Bibi as the leader, then Gantz took control. What the elite want to do next is own Israel and some other nations, whereas the Balfour Declaration was sent to the Rothschild family. Before it was put in their hands, they were told Israel would be given to them. A couple Rothschild brothers are largely responsible for growth in Israel. They want to own it to the point that the high-level population would be subject to them. The EU has to fall apart, which is beginning now, and put back in another way. Whether or not they are thinking this Mediterranean war will be a world war that the Lord told me about is irrelevant. The war that will lead to World War III has to be sparked in the Middle East. That war will become World War III. Then the Antichrist will arise. The Lord let me, meaning Mom, experience how dark it would be before the Antichrist would come. In World War II, Europe was in an unprecedented darkness, but the preparation for the Antichrist coming forth, the world has never known. It will be a spiritual darkness so dark you won't be able to trust your own children. Parents also would be a child's worst persecutor. It would be a world of total fear. The cabal will do it again. What has begun, what has been, will be again. For example, the bombings in Israel. I went there after that attack. Fear was so dominant that you were subject to this fear even if you did not know what was going on. The darkness will be tangible like nothing ever experienced before. Do you want me to read the next one, Mom? Okay.
I was turned off. Israel's so make noise.
It's okay. This one was May 16th of 2020. Israel's unity government began. The unity movement, unity government. I saw Syria in serious trouble. The Lord showed me the technology Israel had. It was of such a nature that although damage would come, it would not cause the destruction the Arabs want. These two men are heads of the unity government. That's Bibi and Gantz. We need to pray into this. The elite really want to ramp it up into something far more serious. People in Israel are in fear of them. When I am in Israel, I spend my time praying because of these people who want to kill those who are of the New World Order in Israel. 2023, excellent for today's praying. This is from a 2020 team call. Now, several of these that we're sharing are from calls that we had with our team. And as we asked questions, Mom answered. So this one was from 2020. I'm particularly concerned about the other nations. Everyone suffers, but Israel always comes out prevailing. The Arab nations also need prayer. Pray that Israel would not be defeated, that God would reveal himself to the people of the land and the leaders. Pray for wisdom to be given for this warfare. Pray for the Arab nations. Abraham said to Yahweh, will you not watch over my son Ishmael? God said he would. Pray that God would send salvation to the Arab nations, that they see their little brother is really their friend. Jewish people's hearts are not against Arab nations. God alone can rectify this situation. I believe before his return, there will be peace, not by the Antichrist. There's a spirit of reconciliation that will be released, but she's not sure how vast it would be. And then this last one is Zechariah 12:2-4. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burdens themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people's enemy with blindness. The last time I was in Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, there was an image of a prophet on the wall. It was a water image the size of a man. He had a cup of trembling in his hand. We stood there and watched for a long time. BBC News came to me and wanted to interview me. I told them the better person would be David, Dick Mills' son, David Michael. He's an historian and would give much more information. They interviewed him for about 30 minutes about the above image. This was spread wherever BBC plays their news program. And the last one is a vision of two-headed liberty. Another vision was of the Statue of Liberty. Suddenly, the head of liberty became two, the new government. In the statue, there was strength added with the second head. This two-headed government in Israel will give Israel a new level of strength. We also have to know that the New World Order is somehow involved in this. Although they want Israel to be a base, they also don't like all the chaos in Israel. An elite person I know said they might move and allow what is happening right now, maybe move to America. Pray that God's way and will be done. That was the last one, Mom.
And what they were talking about was the hope of moving Israel into Texas in America. The whole population, isn't that splendorous?
My goodness.
So there are many, many other things that we could read of visions, visitations, things that I've seen and heard, but I don't feel to go on with that right now. I just want to give a quick summary of what we got here. And then go into prayer. The elite are trying so hard to get things moving along into World War III. I can remember telling you, the intercessors, that If the elite get what they want out of Ukraine, this Ukraine and Russia war, they will move it into World War III. So this is like the takeoff platform. that you, I can't remember what it's called now, but the takeoff platform that a jet leaves an airport from, this what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. This is not to be all that bloodshed. What they want to come out of it, World War III, is where all the bloodshed will head. If it cannot, if God cannot intervene, if he cannot prevent the plans of the New World Order, the same with Israel, the same with Africa. I've seen horrible, horrible visions of different African nations. I haven't brought those forth to the intercessors. I haven't talked to anyone about them because they were so horrible that in our day, you don't want to believe that something like that can happen. You just don't want to believe it. But it can, and it does. And the Lord caused me to understand in one of his visitations to me that the nations that are the most vulnerable to the New World Order plans are the nations that will not let God intervene. If I were to go into the president or the prime minister of any nation and tell them, we've got all the money we need, we've got all the weaponry we need, and we've got God, he will protect your people. He will take on this war for you. If in their heart they don't like the sound of God, they've got other plans, they'll take care of themselves. God will let them take care of themselves because they themselves close the door on him. God is not closing the door. They are. And when they do, contrary to what people preach and teach, I used to believe the contrary too, but I know the Lord better now, and I know that it's not like we think it is. The Lord wants to save nations, and he wants to save people. He loves people. He just loves people. That's why he created people. And he will manifest himself. He will try his best to make himself known. He will send revival. He will send outpourings of various kinds into a nation, attempting to reveal himself to the people. And this may go on for years. It may go on for decades. But there's a point, if that nation will not turn and let God have his way in that nation, to bring forth his blessing and his protection for the people, he will stand back and let the nation be destroyed. Now, to some, that sounds just so horrible. That sounds so horrible, people don't even want to hear my mouth speak. But I'm telling you, whether you love me or you hate me when this is finished, if you like me or you dislike me, if you believe me or you disbelieve me, it doesn't change the way God is. And he is this way. He is this way with people. Some people can die at 100 years of age. And at 99 years of age, they finally accepted the Lord. And everyone's just thrilled. We're so excited. And the salvation is real, and we'll see them in heaven. Other people, the Lord will try in every way he can to open their hearts to him, to open their eyes to him. And they find themselves on their deathbed at 60 years of age. And now their hearts are so hard. No matter what you say to them, they'll never accept God. They've crossed over the line. They did in 60 years what the other person didn't do in 99 years. I've known of testimonies of stories, horrific stories, where a father absolutely forbade his daughter to love God. And she feared her father, so she turned away from God. And on her deathbed, there was a revelation given to her. Though she had brought his name to shame many times, there was a revelation given to her about the goodness of God and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she gave her heart to the Lord. Shortly after that, she died. Her father came running into the room and he said, "What happened in this place? What happened?" And his wife said, "Our daughter gave her life to Christ." And he just about went insane with anger. He deals with everyone according to their own will. And he deals with nations according to their will. What does God ultimately want? He ultimately wants the salvation of those who will be his. He will bear with them. He'll carry them. He'll help them. But he's not going to promise palaces to someone who lives in rebellion and doesn't want to repent, even if they're saved. We must look at the severity of God. We must look at it seriously, first of all, for our own lives, and second of all, to a lost and dying world. And we must pray for those who stand on the precipice of hell that will be lost without our prayers. Now, Israel is a tough cookie, but here, after so many years, 1948, Israel became a nation. No one ever, ever, ever would have believed that would have happened, but it did. After it seemed like he closed the door to the Jewish world, after Israel became a nation, little by little, Jewish people were getting saved. After decades and decades, countless decades, of maybe not more than a handful of Jewish people getting saved, but they closed that door. He simply obliged them with a broken heart. But today, the Lord is preparing Israel for a massive revolution of faith, a massive restoration of relationship with our Father through Mashiach, through Messiah. And when this thing happens, when the trigger is finally pulled, whatever word you want to use, when it finally happens, it's going to be massive. And it's going to happen around the world. Jews everywhere are going to be getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be powerful evangelists. flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Everything they thought wasn't true, they're going to be it. Isn't that exciting? And their chief benefactor is going to be the Arab. Now, if you can believe that, you can believe anything. But it is true, so believe it. There's going to be a huge reconciliation between Jew and Arab. And the revival that is going to sweep in and through the Arab people will in large part have the participation of Jewish believers. Now that's enough to make you cry. I mean, if you're Jewish, you're just so aware of the tension and the bad feelings. When I've been in Israel, I've had Jewish leaders just cry in my presence because they care about the Arab people. They even love them. And they wish that the hate would stop. But God has to intervene. And the Melchizedek mantle is going to help in that a lot. God is bestowing anointings and mantles on key people throughout the world that are going to have a tremendous impact with Jewish people. Waking up one day and realizing that you're Jewish and having to face that, because if you don't face it, then a curse lies upon you for rejecting your Jewishness. But realizing you really are Jewish and realizing God loves you, He's here to save you, your family, your Jewish friends. I was so young in the Lord, I wasn't even a year old when He spoke to me. And He said, "Nita, I love the Jewish people." Tears just welled up in my eyes. He said, I know where every Jewish person living on planet Earth is at this very moment. I know their name. I know what they do for a living. Nothing is hidden from my eyes. I'm crying. He said, I know the actual address of their living, the place, their home, the place they live in. There's not one Jewish soul that is hidden from my eyes. I'm crying and crying and crying. Tell the people I love them. I gave my life for them. And I want them to be mine. So as we pray for the situation in Israel, the Lord spoke to me many years ago. I said to Him, how do you look at Israel as a nation? And immediately He gave me a vision. And I saw the map of Israel set in the nations. But over the nation of Israel, you see, Israel is a very ungodly nation. It's not a Christian nation. But I saw the map of Israel, and over the nation, it read, Holiness unto the Lord. I said, Lord, but they're anything but holy. How can you give this to me? And He said, they are set aside unto me through Abraham. And therefore, because they have been mine and are mine eternally, they are holiness unto me. I'm not talking about a salvation experience now. I'm talking about my covenant promise to Israel. And it is holiness unto the Lord. Up in the mountains of Israel, I've seen the picture of it. I just was astounded. Up in the mountains of Israel, there is a mountain range. And on the top of that range, you will see etched, naturally etched into the top of the mountains, the word Yahweh. The Bible talks about his name being in the mountains. And it truly is. The land belongs to the Lord. And so does the Jewish people. So we can pray for them, knowing he will accept them in a split second, the minute they rise up and come to him. But right now, Israel isn't looking to Jesus. So if Jesus is going to invade this situation and bring it to a halt, he's going to have to do it through the prayers of Christians that are intervening on Israel's, on behalf of Israel's sake. And this is where identificational repentance comes in. We stand, we're interceding on their behalf as though we are they. Yeah. And that's why it's called identificational repentance. And so in that, we can say to the Lord, we come to you. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come to Israel and reveal yourself to your people. And he will hear you and he will do it. The church belongs to him. And the church is the one who will raise up the standard on the Lord's behalf for Israel. That's why you are so very important in this day. Now, briefly, I want to talk to you about Ukraine. As I've said often in the last several weeks, the Lord said, if this war goes into a full-scale war, millions will die. So our only hope for Ukraine is to pray that this war will just melt away like wax on a hot roof. We have no other option. We cannot let this advance. God, neutralize the enmity between these two nations. You must do this for the sake of the millions that will die if it does not happen. Bring peace to Putin's heart. Bring favor to his will. And his will, until he rises up away from his desk and swallows up Ukraine, his will is still peace prevail. So we've got to pray while we can. This is so important. I pray about these things during the day. I pray about these things at night when I wake up, because they're all urgent. They're not something we can put off and say, well, I'll pray about this after Christmas. By Christmas, the worst will have happened. So we must pray. We must stand in the gap. That's the word I wanted earlier. We must stand in the gap. But if we do stand in the gap, we've got a promise on both sides. He will stop the war between Russia and Ukraine, and he will heal Israel. Now, I have a good word for Arabs too, but I won't go into that right now. Africa. There are nations that are so ripe for absolute judgment, not just a handful of judgment, but judgment that will bring those nations to naught. And the ones that will be primarily responsible for it are the jihadists. Just like I've seen the visions over and over and over again. I've been taken up into the skies by the hand of an angel as he explained everything to me that I was seeing. I cried so hard. I couldn't even think about it after it was all over. Before, I would just be boiling over with tears. It's still today, so many years later, so hard for me to hear. We've got to pray for the African nations. You say, well, what nations? I don't know that that is as important as it is to know there are many African nations that will not survive this. So the whole continent needs our prayers. And God wants our prayers so badly. He will help us. He will help us pray for Sudan. He will help us pray for Nigeria. He will help us pray for every nation that we are concerned is going to be lost. And because there are so many nations, my thoughts are, we got to pray for the whole continent. We must. Lest the whole continent be swallowed up by this stuff. I know if the New World Order goes into the continent of Africa, their plan is the whole continent eventually. And they don't care about the people. They just want to get rid of them so they can have the hard stuff. So we've got to pray in the morning. We've got to pray at night. We just have to pray, but we need to pray in faith, and we need to pray in joy, and we need to pray to a God who loves Africa more than you and I could ever imagine loving anybody. So we've shared with you just a small portion, really, of the visions, and some of them are dreams. Most of them are visions or visitations, whether the Lord or an angel came to me or I was taken on location by an angel. Let us pray and let us believe God for the revival that will save more than 1 billion souls in this hour. Let the maiming and the scorching and the stealing of their foodstuffs be turned over, and instead the people healed through miraculous healings. That they're fed miraculously if that is needed. That God will send people to them to help them secure their faith, see their families saved, and raise up a dignified nation free of the satanic devils that they have served, feared, and worshiped for so many generations. God can do it. He can do it all. He can do it, and he's willing if you'll help him. Identificational repentance. Identificational repentance. We no longer pray, "Oh God, save them." We pray, "Save us." And we identify with them as though we had come out of the same root. And we have, haven't we? So with that, I think I'm done for tonight on the teaching.